world will tell you who has the most is the most successful. But that's not what the book says. The world will tell you get more and go over in town and rent you a storage building so you can put what you've got in storage. Just keep getting more and more and more. Ain't what the song says, Sister Denise. Song says, I've got Jesus. How could I want more? He's all we need. Boy, he's been good to you this week, ain't he? He's been good to you. He's been good to me. Romans chapter number 2, 1 through 4. He met my greatest need. He met my greatest need. This morning, as I stand before you this morning, I just want to preach, thus saith the word of God. And my prayer is when you walk out of this building this morning, that God's met your greatest need in your life. And that you don't get over that need that he's met in your life. A lot of times in my life, I get to the place where I don't look back at that greatest need that he met in my life. But this morning, I want to read 4 verses out of Romans chapter number 2 and verse number 1. And I want to share with you this morning how he met my greatest need. I said that Wednesday night, he met my greatest need. You know, I thought a long time in my life my greatest need would be a good job. I thought that's what I needed, a good job. Nothing wrong with having a good job, folks. Listen to me. Nothing wrong with having a good job. I thought the greatest need in my life was having a family. Folks, don't get me wrong. Having a family is great. For so long in my life, I thought a lot of things that I needed to be successful. But I'll never forget that day at an old-timey altar. I did business with an old-timey God. He wasn't no rock and roll Jesus. He wasn't no Hollywood Jesus. But this morning I can say to you on the authority of God's word, he's my Jesus. And on that day in my life when I knelt at that old-timey altar and he saved my soul, right then he met the greatest need in my life. This morning, if you don't know that Jesus I'm talking about, I'll ask you to come to an altar this business and do business with an old-timey God. Folks, he don't change and he will never change. He does it one way and he does it the right way. And this morning as we talk and we think of a lot of things, you may look around and judge a lot of people. You're not a judge and I'm not neither. I'm a servant of Jesus Christ, here to judge no man. But to preach thus saith the word of God. And Paul said here to the ones at Rome, and he said this, in Romans chapter number 2 and verse number 1, he met my greatest need. I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's word. And by the way, the Holy Ghost is in the house this morning. Woo, glory. And he says, therefore, thou art inexcusable, old man. Whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. Woo. For thou that judgest doeth the same things. We are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man? And thinkest thou this, O BJ? That judgest them which do such things, and you do the same thing. That thou shalt escape the judgment of God. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering? Not knowing that the goodness of God is what's led this preacher to repentance. Our Father and our God, as we stand in your presence this morning, I thank you that I'm preaching this morning the truth. Lord God, we've all come in as sinners. We've either come in as a lost sinner or a saved sinner this morning. but we've all come in. Lord God, you've not gave none of us the authority to do nothing but worship you in spirit and truth. His disciples said, Lord, even the serpents, even the snakes, even these things have to bow down. And Jesus, you said, glory not in that, but glorify that your name is written down in the Lamb's book of life. Lord God, this morning I want to take just a few moments and thank you for meeting my greatest need. Father, I love you. Father, I thank you. Guard my throat and guard my thoughts. Father God, let me not beat on these people, but let me love on them the way you've loved on me this week. Lord God, I don't want to browbeat nobody. All I want to do is give them the truth of your word. Lord God, I pray this morning that we'd all take a moment to realize that you've met our greatest need. Father, I love you. Father, I thank you. I ask it in Jesus Christ's most holy, precious name. All of God's people said. Amen. You may be seated this morning as we look at the text this morning. He met my greatest need. The Spirit's already stirring this morning. It's stirring each and every pew, each and every person that sitteth in that pew this morning. And you know the greatest need that God has ever met in your life was that need of salvation in an individual's life. And friends, as we come in this morning, I just want to take a moment to say I am so thankful to stand here this morning and tell you that I love God. Amen? And I want to tell you this morning, I wrote this down so I wouldn't forget to tell you this morning that I love God. You say, that's crazy, preacher. Oh no, that's what old Satan will do. He'll rob from your mind the reason why you love God. Well, I love God because I'm a Christian. Oh no, the Bible says he loved you before you ever loved him. So why do I love God this morning? This is what I'm going to preach on this morning. I'm going to preach on why I love God and what he met in my life. I said this morning, I'm so thankful to stand here this morning and tell you that I love God because, this is the reason why, because he met my greatest need of salvation. Because he met my greatest need, and I want to take a few moments to share with you this morning how that Jesus Christ, God Almighty, the Holy Ghost of heaven, how he met my greatest need. This morning, if you'll look with me in verse number 4, he says this, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing, and here we go, and not knowing that the goodness of God. This morning, number one reason why he met my greatest need, he met it by the goodness of God this morning. He didn't meet it because my last name is Mills. He didn't meet it because I'm a member of a Baptist church. He didn't meet it this morning because I was a dope head and needed to be saved. He met it this morning because he knew he wanted me to have a relationship with him. Amen. He said this morning, by the goodness of God. And look what he said the goodness of God is this morning. Number one, he said he met my greatest need by the goodness of God. Number one, he says in verse number 4, by long suffering this morning. He said he is long suffering this morning. 2 Peter 3:9, the Bible says, God is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he is long-suffering. Not that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Friends, this morning, by the goodness of God, he met my greatest need. You know what he could have done? All the times that I blasphemed him, all the times that I said that I didn't need him, you know what he could have done? He could have sent me to a devil's hell. Hey, but he didn't choose to do that. You know what he chose to do? He chose to send the Holy Ghost my way and convict me of my ways and to turn me from my wicked ways. Hey, this morning, not nobody will ever spend eternity in a devil's hell. Hey, where the Holy Ghost didn't come by and visit them along life's way. This morning, he does that because he is long-suffering. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 15. Not only by the goodness of God, but he says this morning, but by long-suffering this morning. And look what he says here in 2 Peter, if you'll turn with me there, chapter number 3 and verse number 15. The Bible says, by the goodness of God, he is long-suffering, not that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And in verse number 15, he says, an account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation this morning. You know why he keeps on letting this world rock on and he keeps on letting things go the way that it is? Hey, friends, he's only got one reason, and that's that all men might be saved. Hey, that my loved ones might come to know Christ. Hey, that your loved ones might come to know Christ. He said, preacher, I wish he had come on back. Hey, if I think about the ones that are lost and going to a devil's hell, hey, he needs to meet their greatest need as well. He said he does that by the goodness of God. He said, number one, he is long-suffering. Number two, he is love this morning. Not only is he long-suffering to you and I, but he loves you and I this morning. Man, he loves us so much this morning. In 1 John 4:8, the Bible says, he that loveth not knoweth not God. He said, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love this morning. Friends, this morning, he is love this morning. He loves you and he loves me, and that's why he is long-suffering. After I got saved, I say things like this. I can't realize why somebody wouldn't want to be born again. Hey, but I'm soon to forget in my life. 27 years I lived as a lost man, dying, going to hell. And friends, I want you to know it was by the goodness of God this morning that I'm not going to hell. He met my greatest need. Hey, when I needed something that nobody else could meet. Hey, when I needed a touch nobody else could touch. When I needed a heart to be redone and nobody else could redo that heart. You know who done that? It was God this morning. And by his goodness this morning, he is long-suffering and he loves us this morning. He loves us this morning. He's long-suffering and he's loved this morning. But he says something else in the text in verse number 4. He said, by goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God. He said he's good this morning. He's long-suffering. He's loved. But oh, my friends, this morning, God Almighty, he is the light that you and I need in our life this morning. The Bible says this morning in Psalm 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He said that word this morning. You know what it does? It lights my path and it lights your path this morning. He said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. You know what that lamp does unto your feet? That lamp is where you can see up close and you can see what's wrong. Hey, but he said, not only is that, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Hey, that lamp is for my feet. It ain't for your feet. When you come born again, that lamp will go to your feet. Hey, but this morning, I must not worry about your feet. To make sure my feet's okay. Can I get an amen? Hey, do I make sure I'm on the right path? Hey, do I make sure I've experienced that goodness of God and he's met that greatest need in my life this morning? I wish this morning God would turn this place loose. I wish he'd turn it upside down. Hey, my prayer is this morning, everybody that walks in this building can say, God's been better than good to me. Amen? That's what my wish is. That's my heart's desire, that this place gets on fire and that God will do a work in my life and in your life this morning that we can tell everybody that he's met my greatest need. He said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know what a lamp will do? A lamp can't do what a light will do. Did you know that? A lamp, you can look up close. A lamp at home, when I turn it on beside me and I cut that lamp on, brother, it's just shining right there on me. But you know what a light can do? It can shine on out there and see what's going on out where you can't see. Friends, this morning, God's been a lamp to me, and he's been a light to me in my life. He said he met my greatest need, number one, by the goodness of God. He's been good to me. This morning, you can say he's been good to you too. You don't have to just sit there. You can say it. You can say this morning, God's been good to me. Man, God's been good to me. Boy, if you'll just keep saying, God's been good to me, you won't be able to say, God's been so good to me. God's been so good. Man, I just love how good he's been, Jake. He just does so much in my life. You will never, oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, glory. You won't be there, son. You won't be there. When you start thinking about how good God's been. But if you'll think about how people has let you down all along life's highway, it won't be long. You'll get depressed and you'll get into despair and you'll get discouraged and you'll be getting low and you won't be looking at the goodness of God. Hey, but this morning, let me tell you something. There's not been one time he's let you down. There's not been one time he's come up short on his end. He said it's the goodness of God that leadeth me to repentance and to turn me around and get me going in the right way. He said not only is it the goodness of God, but let's look at the second thing. It's the guidance of God. He said, know ye not that the goodness of God leadeth? Not only is it good, but it guides you in the way that you should go. Not only is his and that he met my greatest need by his goodness, but he met my greatest need by his guidance this morning. Look what he says in verse number 4. He said, not knowing that the goodness of God, it leadeth thee. That goodness of God, that love of God, it leads you where you need to go. Let me give you this. By the goodness of God, the guidance of God this morning, he leadeth thee. Psalm 23, verse number 2 and verse number 3, we see where God leadeth an individual and where he guides that individual and where he will protect that individual. Look what the psalmist says in Psalms 23, verse number 1. He says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's an amen moment right there, Brother Harold. That's exactly right. The Lord is my shepherd. Well, I thought the country was my shepherd. No, the Lord's my shepherd. He's the one that guides me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. That's where he leads. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul, and he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He said, I do these in your life. Everyone that's a sheep of mine, not only is the goodness you see in the life that he gives you, but he said, I guide you along life's highway. This morning, as I'm talking to you this morning, and I'm explaining to you this morning that he has done something in my life. He has met my greatest need. He did that by his goodness, but he also did that by his guidance this morning. I asked my wife this question numerous times, and I'm going to stop right here. We're going to slow down. Everybody can't get it in as fast as I talk. I know that. I understand that. Hey, it's okay. It's okay. I'm going to slow down right here and just give you what me and my wife. You know what I asked her this week is? I said, I can't understand something. And maybe y'all can help me this week. I can't understand how God can meet the greatest need in your life. The greatest need, headed to hell, now you're going to heaven. And a man will throw it down and not want nothing to do with him. He'll want to run backwards just as much as he can run backwards. He'll stick his toes in the sand and he'll start digging away just as fast as he can dig away. I can't understand how somebody's met your greatest need by goodness, and he does that and he guides you, but they don't want to do what God's called them to do. They don't want to walk the way that he's called them to walk. And as I thought about that, I got just thinking and I got just pondering on what God does. And you know, we as a people, we want to be led around. We want to be led around. Well, if he'd do this, I'd do better. He won't lead you but one way, and that's with his love and his guidance. Anybody know what this is? What kind of leash? Dog leash. You're not dogs. You're shepherds. You're sheep. If you're waiting on God to take this and latch it around you, and that he'll guide you with a leash around you, he does not work that way. He does not work that way. This is against every regulation at this church right now. He's a rule breaker. Brother Hagin, come on up here, son. Come on. Let me give you this. Brother Hagin's coming up here by one reason. Not because I have this leash. He knows I'm not going to whoop him with it. And Brother Hagin knows that this leash can't do nothing that he don't want it to do. Brother Hagin, son, I hate to do this. Go where you want to go that way. Whoa, you can't go that way. Keep going. I ain't going to rip it off. Them some high-dollar pants. They ain't going to rip. If they them Walmart, they'll rip every time. Whoa, come back over here. You need to go this way. Keep going back. He'll trip and fall if he does him like that. But let me show you what God does. He said he leadeth thee in the path of righteousness. He maketh thee to lie down in green pastures, and he does this. Come on, son. Well, I tell you what, I sure love you. I know you've been going through a lot. And I know you're just tired and weak sometimes. And as a good, good father, I'm not going to beat you. I'm not going to put a leash around you and make you do what. No, I don't do that. You know how he goes where I want him to go? Because I love him. I love him. I lead him around and I love him. You know, as the shepherd of this church, I thought about something. I knew I was going to call Brother Hagin up praying to God he'd be here this morning. Can I get an amen? It's because, you know why Brother Hagin come up here? He knew I wasn't going to hit him with this leash. He knew I wasn't going to put a bunch of rules around him and hook him up, because he's been around me. And he knows there's only one thing I want in his life, and that's the best that God's got for him. And he knows that by the goodness of God and what God's called him to do. He knows that he just, hey, God just wanting to guide him in every aspect of his life. And folks, this morning, I want you to know this morning that God never hooks a leash around you and leads you where you go. You know what he does? He shepherds you with his love, his mercy, and his compassion. I'm going to ask you to sit down, Brother Hagin. This morning, I want to give you something. I want to stop right here so everybody understands what I'm talking about this morning. When I thought about why people just throw down and go back living like they want to, it's because they want a leash. They want a list of do's and don'ts. And Jesus Christ said, I'm giving you grace. I'm giving you mercy. And if you want what I got, come on, you can follow me. Come on, you just follow me. But the only way I'm going to lead you and guide you is through love, mercy, and grace. All days of your life, I'm going to lead you down this road. The psalmist said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me. What does he do? He maketh me. What does he do? Come on, I'm going to give you green pastures. I'm going to give you something in your life. This morning, church, you know what we need? We need some green pastures around here. We need some places we can lay our head down. Hey, we don't need strife amongst the brethren. We don't need strife in the house of God. You know what we need? We need love. We need mercy. We need grace. You know what you need in your home? There's not no wife in this place will do what their husband tells them to do if they're beating on them and making them go that way. You know how they'll get something done? By loving that individual, loving them right down life's highway. He said, preacher, how does he do that? He met my greatest need, number one, by his goodness. He met my greatest need, number two, by his guidance. That desire to read that word ain't got nothing to do with nothing but my relationship with God Almighty. This morning, that book that you read has got nothing to do but with your relationship with God Almighty. The more you get in love with him, the more you're going to read that book. The more you let him pat on you, the more you're going to read that book. I've told this story before, and I'll tell it again. David, you know this as well as anybody. Some of you other ones are here. Brother Eric, Sister Tanya, y'all know this as good as anybody. Anybody went to Sullivan High School, raise your hand in here. Well, there's a bunch of y'all in here, and that's why we get along so well. We all understand one another. But they had some lockers in the locker way. These days, they text and Snapchat and Instagram, and I'll do all other kind of things. But back in the day, Brother Eric, we didn't do that. You know what we done? We took out a piece of paper, loose leaf. We took out a piece of, y'all know what loose leaf is. And we'd take that paper and we'd write out that letter to that girl. I'd write it out to her and I'd say, baby, I hate you and I want nothing to do with you. And if you don't do it my way, I ain't going to have nothing to do with you. I didn't, no way. I took out that paper and I say, you're the hottest thing that I've ever seen. Baby, you're better than a pocket on a t-shirt. It's some lines y'all don't use. Y'all don't use them. Boy, I lay it out there. And some of them other old boys that didn't have good sense, they'd do this. If you love me, check yes or no. I never gave her the option to check yes or no. Y'all getting a little laugh right now, but we fixing to go where we're going. You know what I would do? I would just put on there, love, BJ. Love. In them lockers in that high school, they had vents at the top and at the bottom. And I'd go by that locker that I knew was hers because I'd watched her for so many days by that locker. And I'd fold that paper, Brother Harold, just right. And I'd stick my finger in there and that thing would fall in on the other end. And I would wait and I would wait. And if it was on Friday, I had to wait all weekend. But come Monday when that response come back and I undone that combination on that locker and I slung that thing open and that other letter fell out. And she started telling me how much she loved. Whoa. What? Oh, yeah, it's a two-way street. Well, I thought it was one way. It is one way to heaven. But once you become a child of God, there's a lot of love going on right there. And he's wrote you a love letter. He said, by my goodness and by my guidance, I'm going to give you a gift. There's the third point. He said, not only am I going to be good to you and guide you, but I'm going to give you a gift. I'm going to give you a gift to meet that greatest need in your life. You know, Satan says, you ain't worthy to be saved. Hey, my son says, you are worthy by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And man, when I'd open that up and that letter would fall out, man, I wouldn't even let it hit the ground. I'd take care of that letter and I'd open it up. And on the inside of that letter, it'd tell me how much she loved me. Folks, this morning, this Bible's got nothing but how much God loved you. He's wrote it all the way through there. He says, oh, know ye not, it's that the goodness of God that leadeth thee. Number one, it's the goodness. Number two, he leadeth thee. There's the guidance. And number three, know ye not it's the goodness of God that leadeth thee? Here's the gift, repentance. Know ye not it's the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance? You know why he wants us to repent? It's because his goodness. It's because his guidance. And he says, I'm going to give you a gift. This morning, I want to share this with you. He gives you a gift this morning. I want you to get this if you get nothing else. Number one, that gift is repentance this morning. He gives you a gift of repentance. Preacher, what is repentance? That I got caught and I'm sorry? Oh, no, that's not repentance. You know what true repentance is? True repentance is when you're down on them knees before an almighty God. And you say, Lord God, I know that I've done wrong. And I know I've done wrong in your sight. And I know you love me so much and you're so good to me and you met my greatest need that you're wanting to guide me back to the place in my life where I need to be. Maybe there's some of you in here this morning that needs to be guided back to the place that you need to be. Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, if this church is ever going to be as strong as it needs to be, we're going to have some prayer warriors. Man, we've lost a lot here lately. They're dying and going home. We need some more to step up into that place. He says this. He said, not only is it by the God, it's not only by the goodness, but it's by his gift. So, preacher, what gift are you talking about? I'm talking about that gift of repentance, that gift of restoration, how he restores that individual. You're not who you used to be. And he does that by his riches according to Christ Jesus. Turn with me this morning. We're talking about what he does in your life, how he meets that greatest need. Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 7 and verse number 8. Let's read this together and read what the Bible says. Ephesians chapter number 2, just as that love letter would fall, and I would read that from my wife, at that time my girlfriend, but I always told her we're going to get married. I didn't want her to quit writing that letter. Brother Lee, you wrote one too, I can tell. You one of them old time boys, you wrote one of them love letters too. By the way, in the house this afternoon, let me share this with you. If you ain't never wrote that woman you sitting by a love letter, write her one when you get home. Write down the reason you love her. It's how long it takes you to write it. He says this morning, Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace, Ephesians 2, 7, in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And it ain't nothing to do with you. That's Mill's term. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. This morning I want you to know that he has met my greatest need because he's just a good, good God. He's met my greatest need because he guided me the way he wanted me to go. He met my greatest need when he was good and he was showing me, Brother Eric, and he's guiding me. You know where he's guiding me to? He's guiding me to the cross. When I was lost, he was guiding me to the cross. You know what the Holy Ghost does? It guides you to the cross. But this morning, I want to read you a little story this morning before we go. Before we give a time of an altar call, and you may come for an invitation, may need to be born again. May need to just do business with God this morning. And you say, preacher, he's not been that good to me. He owes me. He owes me this morning. Let me read this to you. There's a story of a little boy who wanted his mother to pay him for all the services he was doing around the house. He left her a note that said, for washing the dishes, you owe me a dollar. For cleaning my room, you owe me a dollar. For hanging up my clothes, you owe me a dollar. For mowing the lawn, you owe me a dollar. Mama, you owe me $4. Pay up now. The mother read the note and came to the kitchen, laid down the $4 on the kitchen table, and she wrote him a note. And here's what it says. For carrying you for 9 months and being sick as a dog, no charge. Staying up with you all night, night after night, because you was sick, no charge. For working overtime, so you could get those special kind of shoes that you wanted, no charge. For entertaining your friends when you brought them home with no notice, no charge. Sign your mother who loves you. You owe me totally nothing. Folks, this morning I want to read this to you. Folks, the Lord owes you and I nothing. Because he has already met our greatest need on Calvary by his goodness, by his guidance, and by the gift of salvation. Signed, Jesus Christ. He owes you nothing, and he owes me nothing. He done what he did because he loves you, and he loves me. He met my greatest need because he loved me. Our Father and our God, as we bow in your presence, I love you so much. Lord God, I can't stand here and write enough words or fathom enough how much that you love me. How many times that you wrote that letter and I would read it and it would fall down on me, Father, and I would not respond. Well, God, how many times that you wrote, love Jesus? Woo! And I wouldn't respond. I keep going the same old way and doing the same old thing. But Lord God, one day, that goodness and that guidance and that gift, it took a hope in my life. Lord God, his name's Jesus, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, I know it's been a tough year in 2020. And Father, I ask you this morning to show each and every one of us in this room that's been born again that you've met our greatest need. And Lord, for that one that may be lost, I pray this morning that the Holy Ghost of heaven will show them that you can meet their greatest need this morning. The greatest need that ever has been and ever will be is to be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, bless this time of invitation. Bless the ears that heard. In Jesus Christ's most holy, precious name, all of God's people said, I ask you to stand this morning.